Beatles Get Back. That's on Disney Plus. This is the Peter Jackson series, in which he took 55 hours of forgotten Beatles footage that they shot when the Beatles were making their Let It Be album. And I mean, it's just been sitting in a vault for over 50 years. He took all the footage and has put together this six-hour docu-series now that if you are a Beatles fan, you are definitely going to enjoy. What can I tell you about this? I mean, I watched maybe like half of it so far, and I had to stop because it's, I don't know if tedious is exactly the right word, but it, I don't know. I got to say, I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I was going to enjoy it. It's like being in a recording session for days, days and days with the Beatles. And while interesting for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, when I got to close to, when I got to like 2.5 hours of it, I was like, okay, this is a long and winding road. Whew.
Is it just studio chatter? Is it
it's the guys
just kind of
in the studio
messing around?
It's the guys in the studio, and you see the process of them working out the words to the songs and the orchestration to the songs. You know, from this album. I mean, they're getting ready to do a concert. Where they're going to do it, they hadn't really decided yet. Ultimately, it wound up on the roof of Apple Records, their famous concert. But the process at arriving at that decision is debated for a pretty long time with this. I'm not really sure that I learned anything new in this, honestly. I was hoping, you know, to learn great insights. I learned that they smoked cigarettes like banshees. It's amazing that, you know, like our mentality now about smoking, and especially smoking in a recording studio, you know, or like, you know, back in the day, Shwani, remember back in the day, we could light up a stogie right in the radio studio.
In the studio as you were running the board.
There was a time when I did a radio show, I had a cigarette burning in the ashtray
right next to your console. Yeah.
The whole time. And I thought, when I quit smoking, one of my great fears was, I can't do a radio show without having a cigarette going. I can't even believe that was my mentality then. But it was, and it sure was for the Beatles. They are nonstop smoking cigarettes, that I could tell.
They may have been smoking
other things too. I did not notice any handmade cigarettes, shall we say. I guess I learned about their demeanor. You know, supposedly they weren't really getting along at the end of their relationship. And, the Beatles did break up shortly after the making of this documentary. But it's not like they were hating each other, you know, not like at each other's throats. They were having disagreements that you would expect creative people to have of, you know, shall we play the guitar riff here? Should we, you know, should the vocal be there? Should we add something else here? It wasn't, you know, awful or confrontational or anything. And I don't think that's a spoiler, really. So I guess I learned that, you know, it's not like they weren't talking to each other or, you know, anything like that. It was interesting watching Yoko Ono. She's in almost every shot. Wherever John Lennon was, Yoko would go get a folding chair and put it right next to him and sit right next to him. And she'd read the newspaper and, you know, she was doing different things. But she physically there, not disruptive in any way, not, you know, saying you should do it this way, you should do it that way. She was just there. And if there was any animosity about the fact that Yoko was actually there, you didn't see it on the part of George, Ringo, or Paul. They were all focused on making an album. So, you know, as I say, I've only gotten about halfway through this. Maybe I'll feel differently at the end because I do want to finish watching it. But I wonder if, you know, anybody else watch the Beatles documentary at all? And what were some of your thoughts about it? I wish I felt differently. I wish I felt better about what I've seen so far. Young Ryan, our producer, Ryan Pollock, who is a musician, he taught music to in the public schools. I mean, he's a bona fide musician. I thought of you while I was watching this, thinking like a real musician, not a dope like me that put on a Beatles wig and lip synced in front of a mirror.
I want to see pictures of that too.
I'd be curious how real musicians feel about this, because I felt like I was locked in the studio with them for all this time.
That's what I'm interested in seeing is, and I'm going to watch this around Christmas, is, you know, what the conversation is and how they
react.
And is there bickering going on between them when they suggest something and someone shoots it down?
I wouldn't say that. It felt like Paul was pretty much running the show.
Yeah.
I was surprised not seeing a more active leadership role by John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
He's busy smooching with Yoko a lot of the time. Poor Ringo is just sitting on the drums. You know, he just wants to, let's just make some music. George Harrison, who did actually walk out of the sessions, I guess it's later on in the docuseries. I haven't gotten to that part yet, but it's well known. I mean, I'm not spoiling anything, I don't think, that he did walk out and come back, that he had some ideas that he wanted to try. He felt maybe a little frustrated, it seems, but not, it didn't seem like they hated each other at all.
Yeah.
I didn't get that sense.
It gets exhausting when when you're in those settings, because it's so, everybody's just throwing so many ideas out there and people get so tied to their ideas and you take them, it's hard to, you just have to leave that stuff at the door and, not take it personal and know it's working towards the greater. Yeah. But I have a...
Schwani. I hope you heard that, Schwani.
Yeah.
What?
Schwani. Like in the morning meetings.
Oh.
He walks out of them all the time.
In a huff.
All right, that's enough.
He walks out in a huff.
I'm done.
We're going to have to cut the far-flung forecast back by a couple of minutes. I'm leaving.
Did you just break your headphone?
He did.
I'm not working with
you. Did you throw your headphones down?
No, I didn't throw them. I just set them down.
Sounded like you threw them.
Looked like you threw them, too.
Wow, that's a pretty sad state of affairs if we're not getting along as well as the Beatles did when they were broke up. Curious, for some of you who saw this, what your impressions were about it. Here's a few texts. 630, Dean, I watched about half of it, which is about where I am with this. My takeaway was that McCartney seemed to do most of the writing, didn't understand why most of the songs said written by McCartney and Lennon. Because Lennon didn't seem to do very much. That was definitely my impression also. 773 area code. The trouble with Yoko, Steve Miller told me Ringo and George were late because Yoko was there. Okay, well, if anybody was in the parts that I've seen so far, the only one that was been late was John Lennon. I mean, maybe that comes later on. Let's see here. What is to see? It's 847 says, I'm through two segments. The second gets better in the last 20 minutes when they decide on the roof show. Okay. All right. Well, as I say, I'm going to stay with it. 708 area code. Keep watching, Dean. Their creativity is amazing. I thought it was tedious, but so interesting to see their actual personalities. Paul was bossy, kind of true. Ringo totally passive, definitely true. George kind of simmering, all very true. Yeah, I would agree with all of those things. 847 says, "What was Yoko's role in all this? She's just in the middle of everything." It's very true. I mean, literally, they're in the middle of writing "The Long and Winding Road" or "Let It Be" or some of the other songs on the Let It Be album. And, Yoko just pulls a chair up. The four of them are sitting on folding chairs, kind of in a circle, or positioning themselves in a circle like that. And then Yoko just pulls right up. It's not disturbing, not disrupting, not anything. Just she wanted to be next to her boyfriend. I think they were just boyfriends, girlfriends at that time. I don't think they were married. But curious about some of your thoughts. Let me be quiet and open up the phone lines. 312-981-7200.
Happy holidays from all of us at WGN to all of you.
Christmas is WGN.
Terry, hi, you're on WGN. What'd you think of it?
Hi, Dean. I thought it was awesome. I was mesmerized. I could not take my eyes off it. It's so much more than we ever got to see in Let It Be, which was just all the bitchiness and fighting.
Yeah.
In Get Back, you get to see them being friends and laughing and cutting up and having a great time together and dancing. And yeah, Yoko was there, but for the most part, she was quiet.
Yeah,
We didn't
just sat there, yeah. I was expecting
a
Yoko outburst at some point, because that's the image that we have of her, but that was not the case at all.
No, and we do get treated to her singing a couple of times, but even then, it's rather endearing that Paul, George, and Ringo are playing backup for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a completely different picture than what we've always seen, and it was fascinating to see something that starts out just as a couple of notes, a little riff, and eventually it turns into a song that we have known and loved, you know, all our lives.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, that's going to inspire me to keep going, getting through this.
I would stick with it because most of the last installment is, you know, the rooftop.
Right, the concert,
which is just glorious. It's great.
I assume that must be the last hour of it. You know what I did love? What I loved is watching these guys sitting there, and you heard a couple of notes, or a little riff, bum, 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 and they layer on it and they layer on it, and suddenly it's the song Get Back. I mean, it's just like little bits and pieces. And, Paul is on the guitar, bum, 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 bum. And suddenly somebody adds something else and Ringo adds the drums and boom, boom, boom. And suddenly it's the song that we all grew up with. That part, I got to say, was cool to watch.
Yeah. It was neat to see that somebody didn't come in with a fully developed song, you know, to present to the others. They just, for the most part, just worked it all out together.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, it's I think you still need a little bit of patience to watch it. But and super Beatle fans, I think, are going to be super, super excited. But
you're talking to one of those right now.
Yeah, so. I'm glad because you've inspired me to stick with it. The best is yet to come. Yeah. Great. Well,
it is.
Terry, thank you for the review. I appreciate that.